Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Barstool Biology. I'm your host, Gary Somerville, and I'm very excited to launch a science podcast during this crazy time in the world. It's been a long time coming, and I will be discussing tales of biology over beers. Why did I start a science podcast when I already do an American football one? And that one's called Paddy Pigskin. You may not have heard of it. Well, right now, there's so much misinformation floating around on the internet and social media. I felt people need some factual scientific content presented to them in a laid-back fashion in easy-to-understand language, with the aim to educate people on popular scientific topics in today's world. So Barstool Biology was born. And you're probably thinking, who the hell is this random guy in my earphones trying to teach me science? Totally fair question. So before we dive into the juicy stuff, allow me to give you a brief background about who I am and my career as a scientist. So currently I'm a senior scientist at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, USA, which is also an affiliate of Harvard Medical School. And that's nice because we get a fancy Harvard email address. So although this podcast will be 99% facts, not feelings, I will say that any thoughts or opinions are my own and not of my employer. So at Dana-Farber, I'm a molecular biologist, which means lots of work with DNA, RNA, figuring out how genes are misbehaving in cancer patients and some other diseases. And we use that information to help fellow researchers and clinicians identify ways to intervene and help patients going forward. That's our end goal. And in case the accent wasn't a dead giveaway, yes, I am from Dublin, Ireland, which is where I did my postgraduate degrees. My master's was in molecular medicine and PhD was in molecular biology. And I did both of these at Trinity College and St. James's Hospital in the heart of Dublin. So if you've never been to Trinity College, I suggest you go and take a look. It's like Hogwarts on steroids in the middle of Dublin City. So I'm excited to bring all of this fancy science experience and knowledge to the table. And I will have one or two guests along the way as well, as I share it with you all on Barstool Biology. So now all of the formalities are out of the way. Let's get to science on episode one, viruses and COVID-19. So sit back, relax, crack open your favorite drink, whether it's a beer, whiskey, wine, whatever. Picture yourself in your favorite bar as I serve up science. Firstly, what is a virus? We keep hearing the word every day on the news, in newspapers if you're still old school, on Twitter, Facebook, you name the outlet and you see this word. But do we know what a virus actually is? A virus is a sub-microscopic parasite, generally much, much smaller than bacteria, and we know a lot more and encounter a lot more of those. Viruses can infect all types of life forms, from animals and plants to microorganisms, including bacteria themselves. They're nasty little shits, and there's millions of types of them in the environment, and more than 6,000 species have been described in detail. The origins of viruses are unclear. Some may have evolved from plasmids, which are teeny little pieces of DNA that can move between cells. Others may have evolved from bacteria. And some biologists consider them to be a life form because they do carry genetic material, they reproduce, and they evolve through natural selection, but they lack key characteristics such as a cell structure that are generally considered necessary to count as life. And because they possess some, but not all, of such qualities, they have been described as organisms that teeter on the boundaries of what is considered life. Ultimately, viruses' primary role is to survive. They don't really do much else, which is very fucking annoying. So they need host cells to infect and thrive, which I will get into in a few minutes when I talk about COVID-19. So no hosts, no dice. Viruses spread in many ways. One transmission pathway is through disease-bearing organisms known as vectors. For example, they can be transmitted from plant to plant by insects that feed on plant sap, and viruses in animals can be carried by blood-sucking insects. Flu viruses and coronaviruses are spread by coughing and sneezing, something we all know about now. Norovirus and rotavirus, common causes of viral gastroenteritis, are transmitted by the fecal oral route, so no prizes for guessing there, and passed by contact and entering the body in food or water. And HIV, one of the several viruses transmitted through sexual contact and by exposure to infected blood. So now that we know a little bit more about viruses, let's talk about the current star of the show, Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2, aka the notorious SARS-CoV-2, which causes the disease COVID-19. And SARS-CoV-2 is an RNA virus, and you may be wondering, wait, I've heard of DNA. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. But what the hell is this RNA he's talking about? Well, RNA are mostly single-stranded molecules that have ribonucleic acid as its genetic material, whereas DNA, which most of you are familiar with already, that's mainly double-stranded with deoxyribonucleic acid, and it has that well-known helix structure that you've probably seen in magazines and on Google and everything else. And you may be surprised to know that despite every cell in your body having 3 billion pairs of letters in its DNA sequence, think about how small the cells are in your body, the fact that there's 3 billion pairs of these letters in your DNA sequence, and they're made up of just 4 letters, A, C, G, and T, whereas RNA strands are made up of A, C, G, and U, which replaces the T, so almost the same. And notable human diseases caused by RNA virus include COVID-19's older brother SARS, the common cold, influenza, Hep C, Ebola virus disease, polio, and measles. So yeah, viruses from RNA suck.
Ooh, you suck.
But back to SARS-CoV-2. And despite the conspiracy theorists on the internet and their tinfoil hats suggesting that this is a man-made virus, the data suggests it's a naturally occurring one, which passed from bats to possibly a secondary animal and then on to humans. And there's a few reasons why we know this. Its genome is roughly 80% similar to that of the SARS pandemic of 2003, which makes sense given it's a novel virus but from the same family as SARS. And researchers proposed bats as the most likely reservoir for SARS-CoV-2, as it's very similar to a bat coronavirus. There's no documented cases of direct bat-human transmission, suggesting an intermediate host was likely involved. And it's so tiny at 125 nanometers. This is 125 billionths of a meter. But it's so small, but yet we still know what it looks like. Well, what does it look like? The clue is in the name corona, which is Latin for crown. And it's this crown-like structure that's one of the main features of the virus. On the outside, it has a membrane protein, which is the central organizer, and it determines the shape of the viral envelope, which is basically a layer of fat. And the viral envelope functions as the virus's protective layer and can help it evade the host immune system when it's vulnerable and outside the host cell. That's why it's so important to wash your hands regularly. It's the most effective personal tool against this virus. But why? Because soap and water will actually bust open this envelope and render the virus unable to infect you. So keep washing the hands. Also on the outside, you have the muscle of the operation, the crowned spike protein, which allows the virus to latch on to its host cell. More about that in a few minutes. And peeking inside, we have the nucleocapsid, which is a capsule that contains and protects the virus's genetic material, which, as I mentioned earlier on, is single-stranded RNA, and it protects it until it's go time. So here is where shit gets real, the infection process of SARS-CoV-2. On February 19th, a research team led by scientists at the University of Texas at Austin described the tiny molecular key on SARS-CoV-2 that gives the virus entry into the cell. And this key is the spike protein with that crown shape. A few weeks later, the team described the rest of the puzzle, the structure of the ACE2 receptor, which is on the surface of the respiratory cells in our body, and how it and the spike protein interact. Think of the human body as a house and SARS-CoV-2 as an opportunistic robber. Then ACE2 would be the doorknob of the house's door. Once the S protein grabs onto it, the virus can enter the house and all shit breaks loose. SARS-CoV-2 enters the body through the nose, mouth, or eyes, and then attaches to the cells in the airways that produce the ACE2 receptor. The virus infects the cell by fusing its own oily membrane with the membrane of the host cell. And once inside, the coronavirus releases a little snippet of its RNA. The infected cell reads the viral RNA. Remember, these things can't replicate on their own. They do need a host cell to do the replication for them. And it begins making proteins that will actually keep the immune system at bay and help assemble new copies of the virus, little baby viruses. As the infection progresses, the machinery of the cell begins to churn out new spikes and other proteins that will form more copies of the virus and more opportunities to infect other cells. New copies of the virus are carried out to the outer edges of the cell. Each infected cell can release millions of these little baby viruses before the cell finally breaks down and dies. The virus may infect nearby cells or end up in droplets that escape the lungs when we cough. But it's not all doom and gloom here on Barstool Biology. The good news is that the body's adaptive immune system can learn to recognise SARS-CoV-2, just like any other new invading pathogen. And we can help speed the process up because right now more than 90 vaccines, big number, are being developed against SARS-CoV-2 by research teams in companies and universities across the world. So on the next episode of Barstool Biology, I'll be talking about these vaccines and herd immunity, something we're hearing a lot of thanks to Sweden's approach. I'll be chatting about it to Dr. Andrew Hogan, who is a principal investigator at the Obesity Immunology Research Group in St. Vincent's University Hospital in my hometown of Dublin. As well as being an expert in immunology, Andy's also a former world champion kickboxer and even had his own TED Talk, so he's kind of a big deal. I'm looking forward to chatting to Andy about how we can scientifically navigate this pandemic. And before I let you go, each episode I will leave you with a shot of science. So as I sip my beer here, this is Barstool Biology, we're supposed to be drinking. I'm sipping a Ninja versus Unicorn Double India Pale Ale. A shot of science, it'll be a little nugget of science that you can impress your mates with if your conversations turn nerdy. Your shot of science for episode one of Barstool Biology is this. Every single cell in the human body has 3 billion pairs of letters, and they're only made up of 4 letters in the DNA sequence. A, C, G, and T. So if you want to impress your mates, if you're ever talking about DNA or RNA over a few beers, that is your shot of science for episode 1 of Barstool Biology. And thanks very much for tuning in. Wherever you're listening, all the different podcast apps, feel free to give us some feedback or review the podcast if you're loving it and you're loving science. And if you know any mates that'd be interested, let them know as well. And yeah, tune in to the next episode of Barstool Biology, where I'll be serving up science.